still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 21 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called Requiem for a Dream.
I always want to say Requiem for a Dream when I see that. So I didn't even say it out loud when the name came up because I get confused how to pronounce it.
It's an interesting, I guess, dream. I get what they're going for with the title because they're in Bonnie's head. So dreams.
And there's like a movie. Oh, well, you probably know that.
It is a movie. Yeah, it's obviously a reference to that movie. I was trying to figure out how it connects to the episode.
I was like, ooh, I know something.
Cinephile alert. Cinephile alert. Fun episode. I'm just excited that we're getting to the end of season 7. I can't do this much longer.
Because this episode, I mean, we've been saying this all season, but there's some stuff in here that like, oh, so we're just doing whatever lore we want now.
Yeah. Oh, so the rules that we set up earlier don't matter anymore.
So we can all just have permanent mercs through a dream. Not a mystical sword linked to a mystical stone. It's just a stick or a guitar in a dream, and that's the same fucking thing.
It can be anything you stab someone with in a dream, and it'll merc them. Then why did Reyna need the sword? What did this shaman do? What did this shaman put some extra juice in this spell?
Either that, or Reyna was weak as fuck, and Bonnie is way stronger than her. Because Reyna's watching from the other side like, damn, how's she able to merc through a dream?
She said, now what the fuck?
I should have made them get in my head. Tried that out.
Lots to get into this week, but before we do, here's a quick ad. I'll start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. When Damon's risky attempt to save Bonnie takes an unexpected turn, the consequences of his actions force everyone to band together to help her pull through. Meanwhile, when a new threat leaves Caroline's life in jeopardy, Stefan makes a rash decision that ultimately forces them to face the fallout from their relationship. Elsewhere, Enzo tries to hold it together as he painfully watches Bonnie in the fight of her life, while Matt takes matters into his own hands to save one of his closest friends. Alaric also appears.
I love when they have, like, this person also appears. It's like, we don't have anything to say about them.
Yeah, you'll see. Watch the episode.
He's there.
Don't worry, Alaric's in this one. So we open the episode, supposedly, where we ended the last episode, which is Bonnie, like, gasping awake after we learned that, you know, Reyna passed along her curse, whatever.
Yeah.
So Bonnie wakes up, and Alaric, Caroline, Enzo are all there, and she is disoriented, and Enzo's like, okay, just take it slow, you're fine, girl.
And he's like, you went through a lot, you got a whole new life, we'll get there.
Caroline goes to Bonnie, and she's like, oh, how are you feeling? And Bonnie's like, I don't know.
And Bonnie's like, something's up.
She says, you know, I just kind of feel different. And Enzo's like, yeah, well, considering you were on death's door, like, different's good.
He said, well, I mean, it's better than you were, we hope.
Yeah. Then Bonnie says, you know what? Actually, I do know how I'm feeling. I am thirsty and I am starving. Vic goes to get some stuff. He's, you know, he's working on food and Caroline. He's like, okay, I'll get you some water. Leaving Bonnie and Enzo alone. Bonnie says, you know, actually, come to think of it, I do want a bourbon and I would like it neat. And Enzo said, twist my arm. That is my girl.
He said, okay, girl, now you're feeling good.
He said, let's queen out. Enzo says, all right, what should we drink to then? And Bonnie says, new beginnings. It's like, okay.
You know, that wouldn't normally be something ominous to say, but given the situation, it has turned out a touch ominous, girl.
It feels a little bit ominous. And then instead of cheersing, Bonnie takes the glass and smashes it in Enzo's head.
They just got back to this house and they're already breaking the cup crystal again.
This crystal's like, man, we had years of safety.
We had 3 whole years.
The night everyone comes back, they break one of us. They're like, that Matt Donovan's right. Vampires need to leave Mystic Falls. And so in crashing the glass into Enzo's head, of course, bourbon spills on him. She snaps his neck and tosses him basically like next to the fireplace so he catches fire.
And once that happened, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a dream.
But I'll go along for the ride. Caroline comes back in, like, here's your water. And she sees what happened. She's like, oh my God, Enzo. And then Bonnie takes a fireplace poker or something else. Who knows? It's hard to see it move so fast. And she decapitates Caroline, like full head slice off.
And then I was like, well, okay, now it's definitely a dream.
And then Damon comes in. And it seems like he's, you know, walking into this scene. And he says, oh my gosh, what's happening here? But then we cut and everyone's still alive. It was a dream. But now Bonnie won't wake up.
Yeah.
So then we go to the study. Damon pours himself a bourbon. And he says, you know, Raina screwed us. She failed to mention that by giving Bonnie her life, she was actually giving Bonnie her lifestyle. So now when Bonnie wakes up, she's going to be Raina 2.0. And Enzo says, okay, I would just like to confirm, though, that she is going to wake up. Does that gift begin with a very long nap?
Yeah, Enzo's like, I don't really give a fuck what happens when she wakes up. I just want her up.
Yeah. Damon says, well, I didn't get a chance to ask as she burst into flames. And before you ask, no, I didn't get to interrogate the shaman either because he vanished at the same time. That's by design.
Yeah, I think they made a point to do that.
Yeah. Enzo says, Damon, did the spell work or not? And Damon says, how the hell would I know?
He's like, I mean, she burst into flames, so I think. But how do I know for sure they left?
Damon says, I have no idea why she's not waking up. I mean, the least she could do to thank us for saving her life is open her eyes, let us know whether or not she wants to murder us. And Enzo says, what if she doesn't? Like, you know her as well as I do. If waking up means that she'll have to kill us, then what if the reason that Bonnie isn't waking up is because she's Bonnie?
And before he said this, I did have this thought that she was making a choice. Because this is classic Bonnie to be like, I'll just die. Don't worry about it.
No worries if not, I'll die.
It's cool. I'm good.
We go up to Damon's room. They have set up Bonnie in Damon's bed. Nice cushy digs.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline says she's better off in here, don't you think? Like, it's quieter, more peaceful. Oh, did you grab those scented candles? And she turns to Rick, who is holding a bunch of chains. And he says, not exactly.
I mean, could you have gotten the scented candles and the chains? Like, I'm not against the chains, but could we get the candles as well?
Exactly. Caroline says, no, we're not going to do that. And Rick says, you heard what Damon said, if she wakes up. And Caroline says, when she wakes up, we do not know what she's going to be or how she's going to feel. And if we chain her up, we've made that decision for her. Maybe, but then also she can't kill you. I just feel like if she woke up and she didn't want to kill you, she'd be like, I understand why you chained me. No hard feelings.
Yeah.
I think we need to chain people up more.
We've said this many times. It doesn't hurt to chain people up.
You have a basement full of dungeons, and I understand you want her to be comfortable. You must have a bed you can put in a dungeon. You actually should, I would say, at this point, season 7, I think you should invest in like having one nice dungeon.
Yeah.
When you don't want to torture someone.
The friendly dungeon.
Yes.
Because sometimes like people do need to be locked up just for observation.
Well, it's like, you know, when we're waiting for like Vervain to get out of Liz Forbes' system, like give her a nice bed.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's an investment we could make in the house going forward.
Yeah. Especially now that you're hopefully back here for good.
Rick says, okay, fine, no chains, but then I'm not leaving. And Caroline says, Rick, the flight's in an hour. Well, if your flight's in an hour, you're already missing it. You'll never get through security.
Yeah.
You're not right by the airport.
Yeah, there's no Mystic Falls Airport.
Yes.
Let's say that.
And they don't fly direct to Dallas. Caroline says, it's the last flight out tonight. Lizzie and Josie have been stuck with a sitter for 2 days now. And Rick says, yeah, I know that, but if this goes wrong, I'm the one person Bonnie's not going to want to kill on sight, so I should be here with you.
To be fair, though, at one point you were a vampire, so, like, she probably won't want to kill you, but I don't think it's impossible that she would.
You probably won't be her first priority, but, like, if you get in the way, she might. Caroline says, well, our 3-year-old children are in a different time zone. And Rick says, okay, then you get on the plane. Let me stay here and help. That's the safest, most logical plan anyway. It's a toss-up which one's safer, but given the events of this episode, he's kind of right. Him staying would have been safer.
I mean, him staying would have been safer, but also, like, one of them needs to go back to the kids, and clearly Caroline's not going to, so.
And I think Caroline makes the right choice here that says, I am the single best person for Bonnie to see when she wakes up.
Yeah.
Because as she goes on to say later that she knew her before she was a vampire. There's no one else we can say that for.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it makes sense for her to be there if the idea of like connecting her to her friends had worked, which in their experience, it had as good of a chance as anything.
Yeah, I think it was a good plan. Caroline says, and you are the single best person for our girls to see when they wake up. Take the flight. I'll be home as soon as I can. I promise. And Rick says, I'm going to hold you to that promise. They hug. Caroline says, we'll get through this.
Notably, no kissing.
Yeah, that's enough hugging.
Yeah.
Let's keep some distance. Get a job. Stay away from her. We go over to the sheriff's office. Eagle-eyed viewers will notice that the name tag now says Sheriff Donovan. So Matt's the sheriff now. Sure.
So he killed a deputy who was also his fiance, and now he got sheriff.
They said, man, most of us only beat our wives. You went ahead and killed her.
You're better than all of us.
You're the best cop around.
Some fun cop humor.
Matt's looking at Penny's file. Let it go.
Did you even try to be happy today?
Literally. There's a knock on the door. It's some other cop. And he says, Sheriff, I know you said you didn't want to be disturbed, but here I am disturbing you.
But here I am coming right in. Like, I knocked, but I didn't wait for a come in before I opened the door.
And I'm also looking directly in the file on your desk, which is me being nosy. So that's why I'm asking, is there a break in Penny's case? Matt says, yeah, so it turns out it was an accident. You need something, deputy? The deputy's like, I thought we all knew it was an accident.
It's like, yeah, it was an accident. And Matt's like, no, I found out it's a different kind of accident.
Yeah, it wasn't a car accident.
But if I tell you that, then I'm not keeping this job. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. The deputy says, oh, yeah, you wanted to be notified if there was any activity over at the Salvatore house. Seems to be some squatters tonight. Do you want me to go over there? And Matt says, no, I'll take care of it.
And the deputy's like, you as the sheriff want to take on squatter duty? That's weird.
What connection do you have to that house?
Yeah. What's your beef with them?
Yeah. We go over to the grill. Stefan is there. As are other patrons. The grill's open for business. Woohoo. Stefan gets a call and he says, what do you want, Damon? And Damon says, do you ever check your voicemail? I gave you like 9 messages.
Stefan's like, I don't check my voicemail. I'm busy being depressed about things that are my fault.
Stefan says, sorry, I've been a little busy telling Matt Donovan he's the reason his fiance is dead. And Damon says, ooh, do I even want to know how that went? And Stefan says, probably not. Also, I think you can assume how it went.
Damon's like, I wasn't really asking. I don't actually care.
Stefan says, you also probably don't want to know how screwed you are with Bonnie either. And Damon says, sorry, I must have dialed the wrong number because I dialed H for hero. Clock's ticking, bro. I need you to get your head in the game.
Stefan's like, can I have a minute to myself?
Let me have my bourbon. Like, things are bad.
Like, I need a break from you all.
Stefan says, my head is in the game, Damon. My life was blown apart when I was murked by Reyna's sword, remember? I had to leave everything I loved behind and run for years. So as much as I want Bonnie to wake up, I'm not exactly looking forward to doing that again. And Damon says, okay, got it. You don't have any ideas. I don't either. This conversation just got really depressing. And Stefan says, well, I never said I didn't have an idea. Well, you implied it.
You didn't say you did.
So I assumed you would have mentioned it if you did at the top of the call, because that's what's most important.
So your reluctance to talk to me on the phone implied that you didn't have anything to share.
We go over to the Salvatore house where Stefan shares his idea. Stefan says, Reyna used to say she had to kill me, but she didn't want to. She could sense my humanity through some sort of psychic link. So if Bonnie's fighting the same war in her head, we need to give her some ammo. And Enzo says, so one of us needs to delve into her subconscious and do what exactly? Damon says, convince her hunter brain that not all vampires are selfish, vicious monsters. Exactly why I'm the worst person for the job.
Yeah, Damon said, we all know it's not going to be me.
Damon said, I'll just get ahead of it. No one's asking me to do it, and you wouldn't, and you shouldn't.
Don't worry, you don't have to watch my feelings. I know that I'm the worst person. And they're like, we weren't going to watch your feelings. We would have said that to your face. You just beat us to it.
Yeah. Enzo says, no, she's my girl. I'll do it.
Enzo said, no, I'm the most important one here. Finally.
Yeah, finally, I have some leverage in this house. And then Caroline says, no, it should be me. I was her best friend before I was a vampire. I can show her the difference between the two. Stefan nods and says, she's right and pretty.
She's right. You hear that, Caroline? I'm supporting you.
I'm listening. I'm learning.
Caroline said, I know I'm right. That's why I fucking said it.
I didn't need you to confirm it.
I really wasn't talking to you.
I was just going to do it regardless. You don't have to approve my actions.
I was talking to Enzo.
We go up to Damon's room. Caroline is sitting with Bonnie and she senses Stefan behind her because Stefan's like, time to move in.
Stefan's whole plan this week, and I can't blame him for this plan because I do think it will end up working, is he's just always going to be there.
Yes. He's like always just going to be like, can I get you anything?
Like, hey, you want to talk? Can I do anything? Can I be helpful?
Yeah.
Eventually, she's going to stop kicking him out.
I mean, it's a good plan because obviously, number one, Stefan can sense that Caroline does not give a fuck about Rick in a romantic way.
Yeah.
And he can also sense that Caroline has a lot of emotions toward him still. Mm-hmm. As Catherine said, that's the beginning of a love story, not the end of one.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. He's like, I can work with hate.
He's like, I can work with hate. I've been hated before. I'll get around it.
Mm-hmm. Caroline says, I'm really not in the mood for a backseat head driver right now. Stefan says, just wanted to see if you needed anything.
He said, water, bourbon, neck rub.
A kiss. Caroline says, you want to be helpful? Then do your thing and run away so I can focus on my friend.
Gagged him bad.
He said, okay.
He said, okay, that one makes sense. We're going to get past it later, but I have to take that now.
Seven says, okay, I can take a hint. The hint is her telling you to go away. Wow, how'd you pick up on that?
And I think in his head, he's like, well, you know, the first time I saw her, she literally didn't make eye contact with me and closed the door. So this is a step, because at least she's speaking to me. I'm still not getting eye contact yet, but I'm getting words.
Only a matter of time.
I'm making progress. It's one step at a time, baby.
Caroline says, if you thought that was a hint, you were not paying attention. And then Caroline goes into Bonnie's head. In Bonnie's head, they're in Rick's classroom at Whitmore. And Rick says, now for our favorite subject. Anyone? Vampires. Real or myth? Bonnie? Bonnie says, myth. Rick says, wrong. He says, vampires are as common today as mosquitoes. And he starts playing a slideshow of, like, you described it, Stephanie, best as these American Horror Story ass pictures.
Like the American Horror Story theme song where it's all pictures where it's like the creepiest pictures, but they're not at all related to the show. And yeah. It's like, that's not anything. That's just a guy wearing a weird piece of fabric over his face.
It's essentially a vision board.
Yeah.
Set to creepy music.
Doesn't look a thing like what we know vampires to be.
Yeah.
It does look scary, which I guess is the point.
Yeah, exactly. Rick says, you know, vampires today are as common as mosquitoes. They can walk in the daylight, kill from the shadows. Hell, some of your best friends might be vampires. So what do we do when we meet a vampire? Anyone? As one woman says, invite them to the party. And we turn around and she's got blood on her mouth, so she's a vampire.
She says, I do not get invited to parties.
She says, no, seriously, what's the move tonight, y'all? What are we all doing? Thirsty Thursday? Rick says, okay, very funny. Anyone else? And then a bunch of vampires in the class start feeding on the other students. It's like overrun with vampires. They're as common as mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Rick says, oh, how about you, Bonnie? What would you do? And then he gets all up in her face, like, and grabs her throat. And is like, would you sit there? Would you run? Or would you fight back? Show me how you kill a vampire, Bonnie. And then his veins appear.
Mm-hmm.
Flashback to when Alaric was a vampire.
Miss it.
He was so sexy then. Bonnie says, this isn't real. The vampires stand up. They all start to chase Bonnie. Bonnie runs and she gets into the dorm room at Whitmore. They're pounding on the door, but then the pounding stops and Caroline is there. So Caroline's in. Caroline says, oh my God, is this what you've been going through? And Bonnie says, get away from me. You're not real.
So it's basically another Hellstone situation.
Yeah.
Why not?
Caroline says, you're half right. You know, I'm in your head. Your body is safe in Damon's bedroom. This isn't real. And you just need to stay focused on me, Bonnie, your friend. Bonnie says, Caroline, and then she hugs her and it looks great. And Bonnie says, something's messing with my head. All my memories are being twisted into freakish nightmares. And Caroline says, yeah, it's your brain rewiring itself to hate vampires, to become the hunter. You have to resist. And Bonnie says, well, I'm trying. Like, I don't want to hurt you. And Caroline says, you just have to concentrate on who I am, not what I am. I have kids now, Bonnie, a family. You know, you should see the girls. They're getting so big. You have to fight the voices in your head. Open your eyes and just come and have dinner with us. We miss you so much. Caroline's fatal flaw was bringing up her kids.
I think the reasoning to bring up kids, like, look, I'm a vampire, but I have, like, the love in my heart to raise children and do this. And
yeah,
like, I'm a full-fledged person.
Exactly.
But yeah, it backfired.
Bonnie says, do your kids know you're a vampire?
Well, they're three, so they don't really know much.
She says, we haven't had that talk with them yet. We're kind of waiting for the birds and the bees. And Bonnie says, hey, when you tuck them in at night and you brush the hair off their pretty little necks, do you admire it a little? Caroline says, Bonnie, that's gross.
She says, no.
She says, no, literally not. She says, this is your lizard brain talking. Fight it. Blood starts to seep in under the door. And Bonnie says, I can't help it. All I see is you losing control. Caroline's veins briefly appear, and she's like, well, there's a pile of blood. What do you want me to do?
She said, I mean, it's really rare that I lose control, to be fair.
Yeah.
Not to say it's never happened, but I'm pretty past it.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in years.
The only time I lost control is when my humanity was off, and that was Stefan's fault.
Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Bonnie says, hurting those little girls, and Caroline says, no, that's not me. You know that's not me. Bonnie says, and you have the nerve to call them your kids. And then Bonnie breaks some wood off the door and stakes Caroline in the dream. In the Salvatore house, that wakes Caroline up, brings her out of Bonnie's head. And Stefan says, oh my God, what happened? How did it go? And Caroline says, well, about as bad as it possibly could have.
Yeah, she said, pretty absolutely horribly.
And then she sees she has a wound on her shoulder and she says, she stabbed me. Stefan says, in the dream? And Caroline says, yeah, how is that possible? And Stefan says, I don't know, but you've been murked.
I don't know why this happened, but I recognize the signs.
I guess we're here. Caroline says, tell me this isn't real. And Stefan says, oh, it's real. And if Bonnie wakes up, you're the first person she kills. This, again, we'd said this at the top of the episode. This is frustrating for a number of reasons. Number one, they were in a dream.
Number one, it makes no sense.
But beyond that, we were told that Reyna's drive really came from her sword.
Yeah.
So fuck the sword now? And so where does the drive come from?
Like, no one got murked when Reyna, like, threw a stick at them. They only got murked if she stabbed them with the sword while it was connected to the stone.
Yeah.
So it's like, why did this suddenly become, like, so much more far-reaching? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, and I mean, I understand that this is the way they're raising the stakes, is, like, Bonnie murks them.
And they need something big for the finale, whatever.
I just feel like Bonnie could chase them all. Like, but I also think they're doing this because they're, like, if Caroline gets murked, she'll understand where Stefan is coming from. Or that's like fodder for the relationship conversations.
Yeah.
Which, sure. But it just feels like, okay, like, why did we set up all these rules that now they don't matter?
Well, and also, like, Caroline did understand what Stefan was going through. And also, Stefan's murk wasn't really active.
Yes.
So he wasn't really going through it in the same way. Not to say he didn't have times he had to run.
Yeah.
I think Caroline's reaction to what Stefan was doing was very fair and warranted.
Yes, and we'll talk more about that as they start talking about it too.
Yeah, but it's just like, okay, so we're just doing whatever.
Yeah.
You guys recognize this season is off the rails and we're just done trying now, huh?
We're just going to do whatever we want with the rules we set up now. Awesome. Downstairs, Caroline says, you know, I just need to get some air. And Stefan says, you know, you could slow down and talk to me.
He said, just a suggestion.
Caroline says, why? You don't understand how she murked me any more than I do.
She says, what the fuck do you know?
Stefan says, Caroline, when you were in Bonnie's head, she must have created some sort of psychic link. The scar is just a manifestation of that connection. You need to get as far away from her as you can, starting now. It's like, okay, I know that you talked to Reyna about the psychic link, so you, like, understand it more. And this is clearly them trying to explain, like, it's a psychic link. It's kind of like a mark, but not, shut up.
It's psychic. That's why it could happen in a dream. Even though that doesn't make any sense. But don't ask us.
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking? Oh, well... Rude.
Well, fuck you.
Well, I told you not to, so I'm not going to answer.
Caroline says, no, like, running away isn't an option. Enzo's going to figure it out. He's going to get through to her. And Stefan says, hey, Caroline, I carried that scar with me for 3 years. I've lived through this before. And Caroline says, oh, so all of a sudden the past 3 years of your life have just been a living hell for you? I saw the postmarks on your letters, Stefan. Paris, Marrakesh, Bora Bora. I'm shocked you even had time to write between escaping certain death and sipping Mai Tais.
Thank you, Caroline, because I've been saying.
Yes.
Like, yes, you quote unquote had to run, but you were writing all these letters to this person raising newborns from all these cool places in the world. Like, of course she didn't open those.
I do think it, like, truly didn't occur to Stefan that the postmarks, he was like, I'm going to write these letters and she'll read them. And he's like, oh my God, I do realize now that sending letters from, like, Paris is bad. It was rude.
Kind of braggy.
And also, it is interesting because I do think that, I think Caroline was under the impression that Stefan was having just, like, a really fun time this whole time. And that's what made it really hurt. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for Stefan to hear, like, how his actions affected Caroline.
Because I think he knew that it would hurt that he ran away, but he saw it as, like, a necessary evil, much like Damon saw desiccating as a necessary evil.
Yeah.
To be fair to Damon, someone told him before he desiccated, so he could have changed that. Stefan just didn't make the connection, like, oh, me apologizing through a letter from Bora Bora doesn't look super genuine.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about how that looked.
Yeah.
Like, me running away with this other girl, I'm protecting her. But I guess I didn't make that clear.
I see how that came across.
Yeah.
And then Caroline says, meanwhile, I was so desperate I called Klaus for help, who's nowhere to be found, by the way. Interesting.
Yeah, they brought that up in the time jump when we went to New Orleans. I was like, we didn't get an answer to that. And I was hoping it wouldn't come up again because I don't have a guess. So don't ask me.
If we want to find the answer to that, we're going to have to watch the originals on the CW.
Oh, yeah. I'm certain it's on the originals, but I thought you might make me guess anyway.
I won't make you guess since you seem so scared. Just interesting to note that Klaus is missing.
And he didn't even show up for Caroline.
I know something's up. I wonder what's up on the originals. We'll have to wait and see.
Klaus, don't do that to my Claroline heart.
He already did. Time to switch over to Steriline.
Not with this episode. Stefan's going to have to put a little more work in.
Stefan says, Caroline, just... And Caroline says, no, I do not want an explanation. All I want is for you to respect my choice to not run away. Stefan says, I don't think I'm going to do that. He grabs Caroline and injects her with vervain.
Stefan said, that's going to be an absolute pass for me.
Said, I don't accept those terms. We go over to the Salvador house. Matt pulls up. He's got a gun. Surprise, surprise. But Enzo's on the front porch having a bourbon and says, something wrong, deputy? And Matt says, actually, I'm the sheriff now.
And Enzo has to stop himself from bursting out laughing.
Yeah. Matt says, you got a lot of balls coming back to Mystic Falls. Enzo's like, why? Oh, you kicked people out? I didn't know.
Enzo's like, I just had another place I was for a bit. I wasn't like staying away because of you.
Yeah. Enzo says, Bonnie is comatose in Damon's bed. Have your pathetic rules ever meant less? And Matt says, those rules are the last shred of what my fiance and I built together. Enzo says, well, no disrespect to your dead girl, but my still alive girl is hanging on by a thread. It's like, okay, damn.
Saying no disrespect didn't make that less disrespectful.
Yeah. Enzo says, I'm about to use my vampire powers to find a loophole in her subconscious, knowing full well that if I fail, I'll be forever marked for death at her hands. And Matt says, yeah, well, she wouldn't be in this situation if it weren't for you and Damon. It's an endless cycle. Penny knew that. She knew we needed to take a stand. Then why'd you shoot her?
Penny didn't know enough to not, like, get shot in the middle of the woods.
Enzo says, yeah, how'd that work out for her? If you want to follow in her footsteps, be my guest. Barge in there, guns blazing, the great cowboy sheriff of Mystic Falls. Or you could table your feelings about vampires until your friend is awake. Your choice. Enzo goes.
And Matt says, fine, I'll give up, as I'm known to do.
This is the problem with the way they write Matt, is they can never decide if Matt is committed to things or not.
And that's like, I don't know, it would be interesting if it was well understood, like, or discussed of, like, that he has this internal conflict. But they just write, like, both sides of the extreme for him. And then he, like, is conflicted.
And then he changes his mind. And he makes a lot of exceptions for, like, Damon, who's notably, like, his least favorite.
Yeah. And I think it'd be one thing, like, not that I was stanning Penny, but they didn't really have her long enough to show, like, that she changed Matt to push him more anti-vampire. Because all we saw was her, like, not really know how to kill vampires and then be killed by Matt. So it's like, we don't see a shift in him at all. I can understand the conflict. He and Jeremy both went through that. But Jeremy, at least, like, could figure his way through a conflict.
Yeah. We go to Damon's room. Damon sits down with Bonnie's asleep body and says, all right, Bonnie, I really need this to work. I'll admit, I was a bit skeptical when I found out you and Enzo were a thing. Okay, real skeptical. But if he can't get through to you and I'm your last lifeline, we're screwed. How about a little positivity?
I mean, she can't really hear him at this point.
Yeah. Enzo comes in and he goes to Bonnie and he gets in her head. And we go into Bonnie's head. We go to, like, the loading dock, the stoner area of Mystic Falls High School. Bonnie walks out in, like, a season 2 wig.
But her cheerleader uniform.
But her cheerleader uniform, whatever. The stoners are like, hey, short skirt, want to join us?
Quick and to the point.
She says, don't think so. And then one of them, like, vampire runs to her and says, what about now? And he shows his fangs. She fights that guy, stakes the other one. And then the first one says, oh, I'm sorry, please let me go. What? You're a vampire, bite her. I know it's a dream, whatever, but it's like, you're fine,
just run away,
just vampire run away.
That's how you can get her to let you go.
Yeah. Bonnie says, like I said, don't think so, and she kills him by, like, smashing his head into the van door. So maybe she just breaks his neck. Enzo approaches doing a slow clap.
Okay, interesting strategy, Enzo. Let's see where you take this.
Yeah. He says, guess it is true what they say, public school system in the States really has gone to rot. Mind you, he's never been in a school.
He's like, I don't know. I read that in The Atlantic. I don't know anything else.
Yeah. I'm just regurgitating things.
Just so you know, I read.
Yeah, I read the news. Bonnie smiles. She says, Enzo, and she hugs him.
And it's like, oh, yay, she's excited to see him. Great start.
They walk through the high school, and Bonnie says, so you're in control of what I'm seeing now. And Enzo says, yeah, so long as you don't fight my mucking around in your subconscious. And Bonnie says, meaning we could have gone anywhere. Anywhere means Paris, by the way, so why are we in my old high school? And Enzo says, well, I might ask you the same question, girl. It's your head. Bonnie says, guess I'm trying to find something to hold on to. A time before vampires were part of my life. Take those stoners. Chad Carpenter used to annoy me after practice every day, but he was a jerk, not a vampire. It's like the spell is overriding who I was, who I am. And Enzo says, well, maybe you've just been looking in the wrong place, love. And he takes her to a music room. One thing about Enzo, he's getting a guitar.
Yeah, he says, okay, I know what works for me. This is tried and true. I'm not mixing it up.
Yeah. Bonnie says, still not Paris. And Enzo says, this is my fantasy now, remember? And Bonnie says, yeah, I'm still wearing my cheerleading uniform. How could I forget? Do we have to do this?
Because what connection does Enzo have to cheerleaders? Nothing.
He probably had never seen a cheerleader until he got out.
And even when he did, he was like, okay. Like, he famously fell in love with a bitch with a typewriter in the dungeon. Like, he's someone who falls in love with souls.
Yes. Enzo says, you're trying to remember your life without vampires, but remember us instead, when we wrote music together. He grabs a guitar and says, you not only tolerated a vampire, you fell in love with one.
He said, and I know the difference, because usually I'm just tolerated.
Yeah. He says, play that song, and you will have something to hold on to, like I do. Now, if his agent was really putting in time, Enzo would have played the song here, but you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm watching this, I'm feeling hopeful because me and Benenzo, we're together. I love them. But maybe not the wooden acoustic guitar.
Yeah, how about pick up an electric guitar?
Yeah, maybe a piano even. I know that you have the whole guitar thing, but I guess a piano is also wood. But you know, just if we could get away from some wood, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Bonnie takes the guitar and says, you know, I have always wanted to be loved by someone in the way you loved me. And it's like, oh, past tense.
Yeah.
And she says, I would rather have those memories than any future where I destroy them. And Enzo says, well, you don't really have a choice, because if you don't take Raina's life, Bonnie says, then I'll die.
Bonnie says, don't worry, I've done it before. I keep trying and no one lets me stay down.
Yeah. She puts the guitar down and Enzo says, no, not an option. Okay. Do you hear me?
He says, that's not how this was supposed to go.
She kisses him and says, I love you, but this is my choice and I've already made it. Now get out of here and let me go. Enzo says, I'm sorry, Bonnie, but like the one thing I can't do is leave you. She says, want to bet? She hits him with the guitar, breaking it, and then stakes him with the neck of the guitar.
He's like, well, at least you did it with the guitar.
Enzo's like, wow, it really do be your own things. In the Salvador house, Enzo, you know, returns. He like wakes up and Damon says, what the hell happened? And Enzo shows the scar on his chest. And Damon says, okay, perfect. Well, I hope you got some quality time with her, because when she wakes up, your relationship is officially on the rocks. And Enzo says, that's the least of my concerns. She's fighting all right, just not the way we want her to. If waking up means killing us, she'd rather just slip away. Enzo says, no brag, but I did predict that.
He said, I did say. Not that it's a competition of who knows her best, but if it is, I won.
I'm definitely in the lead.
Yeah.
We go over to a hotel by the airport. Caroline wakes up and Stefan returns to the room and says, oh, good, you're up. And Caroline says, did you seriously just vervain me? Is this a hostage situation? Stefan says, be mad all you want. Just do it while you're looking at these and his tickets. And Caroline says, Hong Kong. That's really funny. And Stefan says, all that matters is we get moving and we stay moving now.
Caroline's like, who's we?
Yeah. Caroline says, there's no such thing as we, Stefan. There hasn't been for a very long time. Stefan says, fine, if you want to do this alone, that's your choice. And Caroline says, oh, how ironic. Considering the only reason I'm even here is that you decided to go all caveman and kidnap me against my will. This is not you. You usually respect people's choices.
And I was thinking that when he hit the vervain, I was like, oh, so now we're making choices.
Yeah. Stefan says, yeah, I do, until it comes to life and death, and then it is not up for discussion. And Caroline says, there's always a choice. You gave Elena that choice. Stefan says, yeah, and then she died. Elena asked me to rescue her friend from the bottom of a river instead of her, and she died because I respected her choice.
He said, and also because even after I respected that choice, she still dumped my ass.
For a guy who didn't respect her choices.
I'm starting to think Damon might have it right.
Caroline says, well, maybe one day you'll wake up and realize that I deserve the same respect she did. But I stopped waiting for that day a long time ago. This is interesting, I think, an interesting thing to bring up. We haven't dealt with the Elena inferiority complex in a while from Caroline. And I do think that this is a fair thing to bring up, to say, like, you respected Elena's choice. You should have respected me as much as you respected Elena, which is fair. But I do think that Stefan learned that sometimes respecting someone's choice is wrong. He learned that, like, sometimes you do have to make a decision that the other person doesn't want to make.
You know, at first I was angry at Stefan for this because I was like, he would have let Elena do this. And the same thing that she said. But it did have me thinking, like, I was always supportive of Damon when he made choices that Elena didn't necessarily like, because he knew that he had to make those. Someone had to make them. And sometimes you have to make choices for people. And at least this gives Caroline a chance to, you know, talk through and figure out what she's feeling and make a choice. But she wouldn't have made any choice if she was staying at the Salvatore house.
I mean, as we've always said, it's always about context. And Stefan was always someone who was like, no matter what the context, they should make their own choice. But the day that Elena died, when she went off Wickery Bridge, that's when he changed his mind about that. That's when he learned that you sometimes do need to think about context, which is all that Damon ever says. It's all a context thing. But It is true that if he had not kidnapped Caroline, she would have stayed at the Salvatore house. And it would have taken Bonnie Wilde to wake up, so she wouldn't have been immediately killed. But the thing is like, if Caroline was there and Bonnie woke up, it would be too late to run.
Yeah.
And I also think, again, Stefan feels guilty for leaving Caroline, so he really wants to be there for her when she's murked, because he knows how lonely he felt. And it's not Caroline's fault, because he made this decision himself, but he felt that Caroline wouldn't go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to make sure he makes it clear that he will go with her.
Yeah, that he's willing to do that for her. And I think, you know, there are parts of this that I still think he could open up the floor a little bit, just because there is the kids of it all that does complicate her decision significantly more than the decision he made.
Yes.
But I do think him getting her started on the run, now whether they go to the kids at some point, come back, I mean, it's also kind of like, this will work itself out. So I can't really worry. Not that they like know it's going to work itself out so fast, but like it's going to be worked out next episode.
Because it's a season finale.
It's kind of like, yeah, if you run for like 5 days, whatever.
Well, it does feel like what Stefan should have done here, and I think the happy medium is, I do think he should have remained her and started her getting on the run, because that's the only way he was going to get her on the run.
Yeah.
And be able to take care of her. But I think what he should have done is book plane tickets to Dallas.
Yeah.
They could always change the flight, but then it's like, we need to get started on the run, but I know you want to be with your family and figure this out. But I do think kidnapping her was the right call.
Yeah. Like, I do think it would have been wise to go to Dallas first, because frankly, Bonnie can see where you're going anyway. So you might as well go to the place that you expected.
And Bonnie has no reason to kill the kids.
Yeah. So I think if you go there first and just say like, hey, this is the situation, like hop around some after, but like you can certainly stop in Dallas every like couple weeks at the minimum.
Yeah.
But again, it's not even going to last that long. So you're fine.
And that's what we're saying that Stefan should have done anyway, is just come to Dallas like once a month.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly once a month, but you know.
But it really is like, you're running, yes. But you're running anywhere you're going, so you might as well go a place you kind of want to be, even if it's a shorter time there. Like,
yeah,
you can still go there.
Exactly. Caroline says, whatever I decide to do about Bonnie is a decision I'm going to make by myself with my family, but not you. And Stefan says, hey, listen to me. When you bring your family into this, you're putting them in danger too. And Caroline says, yeah, and if I leave them, I'm abandoning them, which is just as bad, maybe even worse. She goes, I would say that getting your kids killed is worse than abandoning them.
They're both bad.
But also, again, I don't think the kids are really in danger of getting killed. But I do think Stefan, this is, again, the difference in their opinions, is Stefan is like, you're putting everyone in danger. You need to run and separate yourself. And Caroline's like, abandoning them is bad too. That's not a problem-solving solution.
This is Caroline being mad as well, because she knows how hurt she was by Stefan abandoning her. And so she doesn't want to do that to her kids. But Stefan also knows how hurt he was by making the choice to abandon out of safety. So it's like, either way, everyone's getting hurt. Now, you don't want to abandon your kids, but you also don't want to put them in danger. And so, like, neither of those are good options. And you can make an argument for either one. But, like, neither of you is, like, ideally right here.
There's no right choice here where everyone's going to end up happy.
Yeah.
We go over to the Salvatore house. Damon is sitting with Bonnie. She's got a nosebleed. Damon gets a call, says, hey, where'd you run off to? And Stefan says, I got Caroline out of town. And Damon says, oh, that's progress. Honestly, I'm surprised she went anywhere with you. And Stefan says, well, I jammed her with a syringe of vervain, so that might have had something to do with it. And Damon says, ooh, good call. Rinse and repeat is needed.
Damon said, I love kidnapping people.
He said, classic move. Stefan says, if you're agreeing with me, I know I really screwed up. And it's like, ouch.
And Damon's like, whatever. Like, because he can't even be hurt by that because he's like, I'm right. I'm good.
Damon says, doing the wrong thing for the right reason has always worked for me.
Always.
Yeah, I don't know about always. Stefan says, I hate that you get away with it. He usually doesn't.
I mean, he does, though.
Yeah, he actually does.
He gets forgiven every time. Like, people get mad at him for a second.
And then they're like, okay, well.
People were more mad at Stefan going to Savannah than they were at Damon for killing Vicky.
Literally.
Me included.
Yeah. Damon says, that's why we're a good team. I screw up, you wear the cape. Stefan says, the hero never gets the girl, right? You of all people should know that. That's like the one thing the hero does.
Like the one thing the hero absolutely gets. The one thing about like Superman is he has Lois Lane.
Literally.
He has Lois Lane and a weakness for kryptonite. Those are like the two things people know about Superman.
Exactly. Damon says, we'll take it from the guy who supposedly got it all and is currently sitting with Bupkis. Stop moping about who you are not and try being who you are. The guy that's in love with Caroline Forbes. You just vervained her, Stefan. In my playbook, that's a notch above flowers and chocolates. Because when you love someone, sometimes you have to go to those extremes.
Damon's like, I'm actually the most well-evolved and the most understanding of love of either of us. Which, don't get me wrong, is a surprise to me as well.
Stefan says, you know, I know you've been locked up in a coffin for the last 3 years of actual civilization. But that is legitimately terrible advice. The thing is, this is what we always say about Stefan and Damon. Stop taking advice from each other. You live different lives. And so I'm proud of Stefan for saying, like, I'm not going to listen to you.
Because in many other cases, Stefan would do exactly what Damon said, and then everyone would get mad at him, and he'd be like, oh yeah, Damon can do that because that's his personality. I'm a different person, so I should make different choices.
Interacting with Caroline is different than interacting with, like, Elena.
Because the one thing Damon has is self-awareness.
Yes.
He knows who he is. He knows when he does something fucked up and he still makes the choice to do it. Now, Stefan, he just wants love and support. And so he's scared to hurt anyone by doing anything, which then, of course, when he tries to help people by like running away or whatever, he hurts them. But it's because he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Damon, like when he hurts people, he knows he's going to hurt them, but he has weighed options and that's the best path.
Exactly. What are we? Two different characters?
Just two brothers having opposite personalities to really bring out the personality traits of the other.
So interesting. Damon says, actually, that advice is so good. I'm going to take it myself.
And Damon's like, actually, I kind of ate that one up.
He's like, actually, I cooked. He hangs up on Stefan.
Stefan's like, okay.
Good talk, as always.
So I got no advice out of that phone call.
Awesome.
You might as well be desiccated again.
Literally. Damon says, all right, Bonnie, I couldn't reach your good side, but I can sure as hell reach your bad side. No more Stefaning this situation. I gotta be me.
And frankly, he's right. One thing about Bonnie, she is motivated by anger and spite.
Yes, exactly. And also, we saw both Caroline and Enzo failed. It's time to switch tactics.
Yeah, we tried the, like, we love you and we're your friends, and she killed both of them.
We go into Bonnie's head. Bonnie is walking down a road, and it's like, oh, Damon's gonna be laying in the street again. But actually, she's walking to the Gilbert house. She walks up to it and she sees Elena's shadow upstairs. They said, we can't get Nina, but we can get a shadow.
We can get a body double that looks somewhat like her.
Bonnie says, Elena? And so she goes to the porch, but Damon's sitting on the porch swing and says, you're not the imaginary pizza guy.
And she's like, oh, not you.
Bonnie says, Damon. Damon says, you sound disappointed, hoping for someone else. And she says, leave me alone. You're literally the last person I want to see.
He said, I was counting on that.
Damon says, oh, come on. We both know why you're really here. We also know you can't ever see Elena again. Neither can I. That's just not until, and Bonnie says, until I die. And Damon says, which brings us to the reason I'm here. I just wanted to say thank you before it's too late. And Bonnie says, for what? And Damon says, you know, for fighting the good fight, going gently into that good night, a whole slew of other crappy cliches. Bottom line, you're going to die. And as much as I hate to admit it, it's going to make me a very happy man, which is why I figured the least I could do was dive into your brain and say goodbye. And Bonnie says, why? You usually don't bother. Got him.
Got him there. But he's like, no, I'm the antagonist here. You can go ahead and try that. I'm already in character, girl.
Damon says, ouch, hurtful and untrue. I present Exhibit A for the defense. It's the letter he left her when he desiccated. Mm-hmm. And he says, so if you'd finally just read the damn thing, we could both go on our own way. You to peace, me to my girl. And Bonnie says, not good enough. Never has been, never will be. And she tears the letter up. She tries to turn away, but of course, Damon Vampire runs to the other side to face her and says, you know, lucky for you, I memorized it. And then he quotes his fake letter and says, dear Bonnie, have a nice life if your guilty conscience allows you to. If there's one thing I would change about our friendship, I never would have pulled you off that street in Amsterdam. And Bonnie says, screw you, Damon.
Bonnie says, well, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's rude to say. Damon says, you screwed me, all right. Got your life all intertwined with Elena's, dooming me, and let's be honest, all our friends, to a lifetime without the one person we miss the most, which, to be perfectly clear, ain't you. Julie Plex said, let me write this monologue.
And Julie Plex said, I'll just do this in pen.
Julie Plex, hater alert.
Hater. And, you know, like, of course, I don't agree with what Damon's saying, but he is right in getting right at this, because this goes right to Bonnie's insecurities and fears.
Yes.
And like guilty conscience about how things go. So this is the best strategy we've seen.
Yeah, attacker survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm. That'll piss her right off.
Exactly. Damon says, that's why we're on this porch. It was the first place Elena and I ever kissed. Over there by that bench, the first time she ever had the courage to tell me she loved me. And merely 1 foot to my right is where I watched her take the cure so she could have the life she dreamed of before you screwed it up. But the very spot you're standing is the happiest place of all. You know why? Because that's the spot where you're going to decide to give me my Elena back. So why don't you close those pretty little eyes and give up the ghost for me? He said, die then.
He said, you want to die so fucking bad? Okay, I'll wait.
Can I watch? Bonnie says, you're a monster. And Damon says, sure I am, but I usually get my way. She tries to pull his heart out. And then in the Salvatore house, both Bonnie and Damon wake up.
And Bonnie's like, ah!
Damon says, sorry, Bonnie. Had to get you to wake up somehow. Catch me if you can. And he, vampire, runs away.
Yeah, he said, I had to get you to wake up, but I respect you're probably pissed, so I'm going to move.
Yeah, I'm going to get going.
Also, now her hand ripping the heart out just marks him. It doesn't even need to be wood. Okay.
Yeah, it is like, so now your hand can just do it? What if she just poked him? Would that do it?
Yeah, what if she poked him hard enough? How hard do you have to poke for it to mark?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the question.
We go over to the airport hotel. Caroline is sitting outside on the car, and Stefan approaches and says, oh, you're still here. And Caroline says, you're right. It's not safe. I'm not safe because of this stupid scar. And any chance that my girls might get caught up in this whole hunt. And Stefan says, I know. Believe me, I've been there. He says, look, I don't want to say I told you so, but see how I felt now?
He said, you know, I don't need to hear you say that I'm right, but I would like it.
Well, he says, you think? I'm in the exact same situation that you were in 3 years ago. And now that I finally understand how you felt, I'm even more furious with you because I know what a huge decision you had to make and you made it without me.
Yeah, she's like, actually, this made me madder.
He said, oh, no. Stefan attempts to explain. You know, he says, look, when I went to go find you in Dallas, here's what I saw. You and Rick and the kids, and you were happy. You know what I didn't see? Me. So I convinced myself I was doing right by you, even though I had no idea what I was doing. I'm sorry, and you have every right to hate me for what I did to you 3 years ago. Good apology, because it's to the point. It explains his reasoning. It is still flawed reasoning.
Well, it is still like, if that was your reasoning, like, why did you not tell me that 3 years ago? Like, why did you wait 3 years of traveling with some other girl to get to, like, your point?
Well, I think his argument was that he was trying to communicate that to her in the letters that she didn't read.
Yeah, well, if she's sending him back, start leaving voicemails. Like,
I hear you. But he didn't wait 3 years to communicate with her. Again, he had convinced himself that she was happy with Rick in Dallas, and so he couldn't be there. Then he decides to write letters, and she sends them back. He's like, oh, I was right. She doesn't want me. I'm not saying that's good logic.
Yeah, but it's the logic he had.
I see where it's going. I see where he got it. And I think it's good that he's just owning up to it being stupid at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of the only path he has.
Yeah. Caroline says, and 3 hours ago. And Stefan says, just don't pretend you would act any differently. You're doing the same thing with Bonnie right now. You can't accept a world where Bonnie dies, even though that's a choice she's trying to make for herself. And you know why? Because you love her too much. And there's nothing wrong with that. He said, you know what? Let's all normalize not picking one thing and sticking with it. Let's normalize changing our reaction based on the situation.
He said, I've recently learned you can do that.
He said, I've got an example. I'll turn it on you if we're going to talk about making choices. Stefan says, I love you, and the thought of you getting hurt, it's not an option I'm willing to entertain. And Caroline says, well, you did hurt me, actually, more than anyone else has ever hurt me, because I loved you and you left me. And Stefan says, I do know that. I was there.
And Stefan says, well, I didn't really consider that at the time.
If you can believe it. I just didn't think that hard.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think it's totally out of character. I think after Savannah, he would have thought this, but whatever.
Yeah, but that's not what they wrote.
I'm following. Stefan says, I understand. All I can do is say I'm sorry and hope you forgive me one day. Again, nice, clean. He just says, like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the only path. Like, yep, I was wrong.
Yeah.
You got me.
Caroline says, I just don't think I can do that. And he says, we'll see.
And it's like, good, Caroline, do make him work for it a little more. But, you know, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. Caroline gets a call and she says, oh, my God, Bonnie. And Bonnie says, Caroline, I can see you. I can feel you. You're marked and I know exactly where you are.
It's like, okay, that doesn't sound like you're happy about it.
Whatever happened to hello?
How are you?
Caroline says, it's okay, you're alive. And Bonnie says, no, it's actually not okay because I'm not in control. I'm going to come for you and just please don't let it come to that. And she hangs up. And Caroline says, okay, so we're going to run. And she and Stefan go.
Caroline says, well, I can take a hint, unlike some people.
We go out to the woods. Damon is on the phone with Bonnie. And he says, how does it feel to be alive? And Bonnie says, I don't think there's a word to describe the depths of hatred I feel towards you right now.
And he's like, yeah, I heard that one before.
Damon says, on the bright side, your skin's never looked better. And Bonnie says, jokes, dead man's last comfort. It's like, damn, you're so serious all of a sudden.
You're really serious now.
Damon says, come on, Bonbon. You know everything I said was just a ploy to make you wake up. And Bonnie says, really? Is that why you're running through the woods scared? Damon says, you could see me.
He says, well, I'm in the woods, but I wouldn't say I'm scared. I have quite a setup planned for you.
Bonnie says, not only can I see you, but I can sense what you're feeling, which is how I know deep down there's a part of you that meant what you said to me on Elena's porch. While she's doing this, she's whittling wooden spoons into stakes. Mama, this house is crawling with stakes.
Yeah.
Why are you ruining the good wooden spoons?
He's like, I got these at Williams-Sonoma, bitch.
These are not cheap. They're not IKEA spoons. Damon says, I said what I said to save your life. Not the first time I've saved your bacon, by the way. Don't actions speak louder than words? And Bonnie says, you know, the only reason you saved me time and time again is because you believe if you didn't, Elena would never forgive you. And Damon says, well, that's a conundrum you're familiar with, because if you kill me, Elena will never forgive you. And Bonnie says, that's the thing, Damon. As you were so eager to remind me, I'm never going to have to explain myself to her. She hangs up.
And Damon said, damn.
What a backfire. We go over to the Salvatore house. Bonnie has her bag packed. She's ready to go hunt. She goes out front and Matt is waiting there. And she says, okay, out of my way, Matt.
And he said, no, when they want me, I'm going to stay in the way.
Yeah, Matt says, not till you hear what I have to say. I couldn't get in your head, so I've been waiting out here to do it the normal way.
He didn't even go in the house. And so scared his ass.
Bonnie says, you know, well, you're too late. I'm not the person you used to know. And Matt says, well, in case you haven't noticed, I'm not the person you used to know either, okay? That guy died 2 years ago with Penny. And Bonnie says, great, you can come with me then. You know, you helped Raina Cruz before, so help me now. And Matt says, I came here to talk you out of murdering our friends, not lend a hand. Because I do know you, Bonnie. I've known you since we were little kids, and I refuse to believe the girl who bought me my first football when we were 9 is gone for good. And Bonnie says, help me not do this. Keep me connected to my human side. I don't know if fighting this will work, but I'll try if you will. Matt says, I'm in. Get in the truck. I'll drive us somewhere safe. And Bonnie says, well, there's one condition. And Matt says, what? Bonnie says, I need to kill Damon first. He says, done.
Matt's like, deal.
You don't have to tell me anything else. But Bonnie continues talking. She says, Damon Salvatore. It's like, I know which Damon it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
We know one. The vampire who has ruined my life in more ways than I can count, who has brought nothing but pain and suffering to our friends, and will continue to do it as long as he's alive. The vampire who killed your sister because he was bored. And Matt says, oh, I'm on board.
Matt's like, you had me at Damon.
Like, I'll kill Damon.
I remember what happened.
I've been trying to kill Damon, but nobody ever wants to.
Yeah, you've stopped me many times.
So you don't have to tell me twice. So Matt says, like I said, I'm in. They get in the car. We go out to the woods. Damon is hanging by a tree, drinking from a flask, as he do. And Bonnie is there, and Damon says, you know, you caught me. Whoa, did you raid a cosplay convention or something? Because she's in her hunter drag. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie says, oh, they're real. Courtesy of Matt, who is also setting up a perimeter around the forest as we speak. All love, but what is he going to do?
So what, is he going to run around the perimeter? Like, Damon can get past caution tape.
Yeah, Damon can get past one guy.
I think we'll be cool.
Yeah. Damon says, I'm not so sure you want to do that. You know, given Matt's track record, I'd say you got about a 60% chance of taking on some friendly fire. Low blow.
Low blow. But Matt's not there to hear it.
Matt said, hey.
Matt's like, I just learned about that. It's fresh to
me. We can't joke yet. Bonnie throws a stake at Damon. He does dodge it. But he says, nice toss, Bonnie. This hunter thing might be your best look yet. She throws another weapon. And he vampire runs away and says, you know, truth is, I don't have to run from you because you're not going to kill me, Bonnie. And Bonnie says, you're right. I'm going to dismember you. I'm going to set you on fire, then carve out your hateful heart. Like, oh.
He's like, okay, that's unnecessary.
Yeah. She says, you're a living, breathing reminder of everything I've lost. When I look at you, I see a smug, selfish parasite where my friend Elena should be. Damon lets this roll off his back.
Mm-hmm.
He says, see the history that we have, the depth of feeling. It's almost like, and then she starts to fight again.
Because she's like, nope.
We're not talking. And then he vampire runs away and she follows. He hides behind a tree and snaps his arm back into place because I guess she broke it with her stick. We go out to Stefan and Caroline's car. And Caroline is on the phone and crying. She's talking to the twins. And she says, can you put Daddy back on the phone, please? And Josie says, when are you coming home, Mommy? And Caroline says, can you not hear I'm crying?
Oh, they're three.
I know. I'm just kidding. Caroline says, that's what I need to talk to Daddy about. I love you. You know that, right? And Lizzie says, we love you too.
And also, well, I have you too. Do you think you can siphon a scar off of Mommy?
Yeah. Rick says, okay, girls, time to go back to bed. Daddy's got to talk to Mommy. I'll tuck you in a bit, okay? And then he takes the phone off speaker and says, come home, Caroline. We'll deal with this. And Caroline says, how? And Rick says, I don't know. We just will. We'll run together as a family. And Caroline says, no, if anything ever happened to the girls or you. And Rick says, I won't let it. I promise. And Caroline says, you know, you can't promise that. So just stop being supportive. Just yell at me and tell me this is all my fault, because it is if I just left when I had the chance. She now is seeing from the other side how she reacted to Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving her a lot of clarity, I think, to see this situation from another side.
Yes.
Silver lining. Rick says, where are you guys going to go? Wait, don't tell me. Caroline says, yeah, it's safer that way. I'm so sorry, Rick. And Rick says, you know, don't be. Just keep moving. And Caroline, you know I love you, right?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
And she says, I do know that.
She says, yep. Anyway!
You can see Stefan, like, listening to this, like, interesting.
Yeah, he's listening to the phone call, and he's like, how's she gonna respond? And when she said, I know, he said, oh, hell yeah. I'm in there, bitch.
He says, oh, I'm in. Caroline says, I'll call you when I get a chance. And it is, since, again, the lore is completely thrown out the window on these mercs, it can't hurt us to try to siphon them.
Yeah, I mean, we know it didn't work before, but these ones are psychic, not sword. So maybe they're stronger, maybe they're weaker. Impossible to say.
It's impossible to tell. I just feel like, again, siphons, get your ass up and work.
Like, you're three, it's time to start contributing.
It's time to start contributing to this household.
Sorry, you want to help Mommy or not?
Them's the breaks. And go back out to the woods. There's lightning and thunder.
It's a little dramatic.
Continues through the rest of the episode, the thunderstorm vibe.
Directed by Paul Wesley ass vibe.
Yeah, literally. Bonnie's hunting. Damon hides behind a super skinny tree. She can see you.
Well, he may want her to.
Yeah. Bonnie shoots at him. They fight. She shoots him with a stake. They fight more. She punches him a bunch. She's really beating his ass.
This curse made her strong as hell.
Yeah. He vampire runs over to a stump and he pulls out the stake.
And I did, when we got to this stump, I was like, isn't this where we had Bonnie's funeral? I did think it. And I said it before he said it.
Yeah. Eagle-eyed viewers will recognize this stump before they even mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie says, giving up already? And Damon says, on the contrary, you're actually walking into my carefully laid trap. And Bonnie says, oh no, a stump.
And he says, wait, just wait.
Damon says, not just any stump. Bonnie says, oh, my grave from Remembrance Day. And we'll remember this is when Bonnie was stuck on the other side in season 5. And they had a funeral that she watched from the other side. And it was really sad.
Yeah, after they pretended she wasn't dead for a really long time.
Well, she pretended she wasn't dead, too. She tricked them.
She was included.
Yeah. Damon says, a memorial to one of the many lives of Bonnie Bennett. And Bonnie says, well, what's it supposed to prove? And Damon says that you're a survivor, that you'll get through this. And Bonnie says, I'm not the one that needs to be worried about that. She runs at him with a stake. They fight a little bit more. He gets her in a headlock. And Bonnie says, I'm going to kill you. And Damon says, no, you're not. You know why I brought you to this stump?
He said, hey, remember the stump? Look at it.
He says, you know, I feel like you didn't react big enough to the stump the first time, so we're going to go back.
I kind of thought this was a trump card and you barely flinched. So we're going to dig in on it.
So now here I'm stuck at the stump. I really got to make it important now. He says, you know why I brought you to this stupid stump? Because if I have to die, I wanted it to be here, Bonnie, in honor of you. Bonnie says, stop doing this. I hate you.
Yeah, and you know what? This, it's working. It's getting to her.
Oh, yeah. Damon says, the Bonnie I knew yesterday is gone, and she may never come back. But I'm talking to you, crazy bitch Bonnie, in all her glory. I still care about you. Stop. Bonnie tosses him to the ground and gets the stake ready. And Damon says, look at the stump, Bonnie. Do you remember it? You died. We mourned you, and you came back. You've been so many things. A witch, a human, a ghost, a corpse, an anchor to the afterlife, and now the woman who's going to kill me. And every time you've come back stronger. Do you know how incredible that is, Bonnie? Do you know how much I envy you? Hell, some days I can't even handle just being myself. We know.
We can see it. Damon's like, look, you're way better at everything than me.
Bonnie says, stop talking. And Damon says, I can't. Because if this is my last moment with you, Bonnie Bennett, I need you to hear me. I admire you. I believe in you. And I love you. The same way Elena loves you.
Like, I love you as a friend. Okay, viewers?
Julie Fleck.
Stop shipping, she said. Because also, Ian Somerhalder is acting down, being like so like very much giving in love with Bonnie. So she said, fine, I'll write it in.
I mean, Ian Somerhalder is very much, he's a Damon Bonnie truther. Like, he's pushing the Damon Bonnie agenda. And Julie Plec is like, no, stop it.
Because like, even with this line, it's still like, I think he might be in love with her.
Yes, I'm sorry. Again, I think it makes sense for Bonnie not to be with Damon, but I don't think it makes sense for Damon not to be in love with Bonnie after everything they've been through. But it is just, that line is so egregious.
Because I love the way he says it too, because he's like, I love you. The same way Elena loves you. It's like, he left that pause nice and big.
He knew.
He knew what he was doing.
He said, I don't want to say this line, but someone's got to pay the bills.
Yeah, but I got to get my check, so.
So, oh well. Sorry, Bonnie. It is just egregious. It is just ridiculous.
Oh, I burst out laughing.
It's so funny. It's Julie Plec really said, don't ship this.
She said, stop.
I love you as a friend.
As a friend and nothing more.
I can't make it clear enough. Damon says, and if you kill me, it's not your fault. I did this to us. But please forgive me before you do what you have to do, okay? Bonnie cries. She lifts the stake up. Like, she looks like she's not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then she screams and gets ready to stake him because she can't overpower it. But then she gets shot in the back by darts, and it was Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Matt, you know, I was shitting on you all episode, and now you're stepping up. Thank you for that.
Broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
We go to Matt's car. They're loading Bonnie's unconscious body in the back, and they are handcuffing her, but they're not tying her up or anything. I think we could secure her a little bit more.
Yeah, she's handcuffed in the front of her body. And this is just an open SUV. It's not like a police cruiser with a screen on it or anything. Just some weird choices being made.
Damon says, I got to hand it to you, Sheriff. You're a better shot than Liz Forbes ever was. May she rest in peace.
I mean, she killed Jeremy, so she's a pretty good shot.
That shot counted. Matt says, those shots bought us 8 hours to get Bonnie as far away from the rest of you as I can. 8 hours is generous.
Yeah, more like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Matt says, I don't want to waste a second of it talking to you. And Damon says, well, I do.
Damon said, well, I'm going to keep talking.
Damon says, this is my way of saying thanks. You could have just said thanks. Yeah. He says, now that you're in charge, maybe we should start getting along. I've actually got a good track record with sheriffs in this town. The one sheriff.
There was only one. And you killed a lot of deputies before he got there.
Yeah. Matt says, I did it for her, not for you. Even if you absolved her for killing you, she'd never forgive herself. I'd never forgive myself. And Damon says, hey, you know, what happened with Penny? And Matt says, hey, it was my fault.
Matt says, no, now that I took a day to think about it, I am the one who shot her. which was a mistake.
That's on me. He says, I'll be paying for it the rest of my life, starting with taking responsibility for Bonnie. So if you want to thank me, figure out a way to fix her. And Matt gets in the car. We go over to Stefan and Caroline's car. Caroline says, okay, in 30 miles, take 95 north, and we should be in Maine by tomorrow night. And Stefan says, and from there? And Caroline says, I have no idea. We'll figure it out when we have to. And Stefan says, you know, you can't keep putting these decisions off. Caroline says, fine, from Maine, we'll take the ferry to Nova Scotia. Happy? If not, feel free to swim. And Stefan says, I wasn't talking about that decision. I do want to open this conversation now. I feel like, you know, you're stuck in the car with me. We're traveling. I might as well start the conversation here. Do you love him?
She's like, it's been a day.
She's like, you know damn well I don't love him. You heard me on the phone.
You heard me on the phone, and I know he's been saying shit.
Does it sound like I love him? Caroline says, I don't know. Can you love someone and leave them behind right when you need each other the most? Stefan says, oh, I would argue that you can.
Masterful gambit, Caroline. Yes. Because if he says yes, then it's like, then I do love Alaric. But if he says no, it's like, then I never loved you. Like, he can't win that.
He said, ooh, you got me there.
She had him dead to rights.
Caroline says, just don't, okay? You know, ask me whatever you want about directions and travel plans and anything related to Bonnie. Those decisions I can make. Rick and me, just please don't ask me to make that choice right now. Stefan said, cha-ching, I'm already on equal footing with Rick and she still hates me mostly.
Yeah, he's like, it's already a choice. Let's go, bitch.
He said, oh, we're good now. We're in the money.
He said, oh, I'm almost there. We'll be in love by Maine.
Yeah. We go back to Matt's car. He's driving and he looks in the rear view and he sees Bonnie asleep. Then he looks at the radio for a second, looks back up in the mirror, and Bonnie's not where she was. So she woke up.
And he's like, God damn it.
She strangles him and he says, hey, Bonnie. And then she puts his body, you know, his unconscious body in the back, and she moves to the front and she starts driving.
And you can see by the way she turns that wheel and hits the gas, it's like Raina. It's like she's speeding.
And yeah, she's got somewhere to be. We go over to the Salvatore house. Damon is watching the rain and having a bourbon. And Enzo comes in and says, mind if I join you? That looks incredible.
Enzo's like, hey, bestie. So my girlfriend is a little iffy right now. So now we're back to friends, I guess.
Yeah, Damon and Enzo bestie era certainly incoming. They're talking more than they have in years.
Yeah, it's like, okay, thank God you two.
Damon says, help yourself, but this isn't a celebration. And Enzo says, hey, Bonnie's alive. That's all that matters to me.
Enzo's like, I got the one thing done today I wanted done. I can figure out the rest later.
Yeah. Damon says, I couldn't get through to her. I would have been just another notch in her belt if Matt Donovan hadn't stepped in. And Enzo says, well, as much as it pains me to say it, Matt was man of the match tonight.
When he said that, and I was like, I mean, he just shot Bonnie. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah. But then Enzo says, you know, Matt found a lead on the shaman who helped Raina turn Bonnie. Turns out that shaman was quite willing to talk once he had a good look at his entrails.
At first, I was like, damn, that shaman did not fuck with Raina.
Yeah. No, he was tortured. Damon says, tell me you have a way to help her. And Enzo says, maybe. Maybe not.
It's like, okay, so we're back at square one.
Yeah. So then we go take a little peek at the armory. Mm-hmm. Things look bad in there. There's dead bodies everywhere. Lights are flickering. It's like a mess.
Yeah.
Enzo narrates, Bonnie's life is linked to that of the final everlasting. If we sever the link, it might also sever the curse. Unfortunately for us, the everlasting resides in the armory. And Damon says, yeah, in a coffin, in a forever nap, piece of cake. And Enzo says, you're forgetting why Bonnie sealed the whole building shut. The evil in the basement escaped from its vault, and now it could be anywhere in that bloody maze. And Damon says, well, evil be damned. We're going to open the place back up. In the armory, we head down to the vault, and there's like one alive guy, and he's just hitting his head on the wall.
Yeah, so he's not great.
And then we go into the vault, but it's dark. We don't see anything. And that's where we end the episode. So that sets us up for the season finale. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen here? Are we going to get into the armory? If so, how? Will this fix Bonnie? You know, what's going to happen here?
So there are a number of questions. One being, as this hunter curse is there, doesn't that make Bonnie impervious to magic? So she can't do a spell.
That's a good point.
And, you know, the spell to seal the whatever whole armory wasn't, I don't think, is a hard one. I think we can have another witch do that.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows, maybe the return of Valerie, maybe we get some little toddlers to siphon the armory.
get them working.
Get their asses in gear. I mean, I think it's more likely Valerie, because we don't have another witch.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out how to open the armory. The other thing is, like, you know, Ezra makes a point that it's like, it's a maze. We don't know where this quote unquote evil is. And we don't really know if it, like, how it dissipates or whatever.
Well, yeah, how it moves. Like,
yeah, like, does it stay in one place?
Is it hanging out?
Yeah, the final shot makes it seem like it prefers the vault.
Yes. I mean, is it like, does it not like daylight? Does it not like the aesthetic upstairs? Like, what's the deal?
Does it take a physical form at all? Like, can you tell if it's gotten to you? And so the positive of it is they know where the Everlasting is in the armory. Like, they know their way around. So if they can just, you know, get in, get out pretty quick, it might work. Although getting in, getting out, that in theory opens up the seal and could let it out.
I mean, who knows if it can leave? Well, also the question is, like, does this thing in the vault, like, can it move things around? Hmm. It seems like mostly the people kind of destroyed the armory themselves, but who knows? We don't know what happened there.
Yeah, because based off what, you know, we saw in flashback, it seems that, like, whatever evil overtakes you and you, like, kill people or kill yourself.
Yeah.
So it seems like most of the destruction came as, like, force of these people. And we also have to ask the question, you know, we only saw dead bodies and this one alive guy, but so we know someone could still be alive in there. So we have to wonder, like, is Alex still alive?
That's a good question.
Has this evil taken up residence in her in some way?
Yeah, in a way that she could then converse with people.
Yeah, because the idea of it being like a vibe or a spirit, I do think is fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to show that on TV without it like being in a physical form.
Yeah.
So I think Alex is our best chance at that.
Interesting.
Just because we know her.
Yeah, we'll recognize her.
And she ran right into the vault and whatever. The other thing I want to bring up, read the Everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is just the lore of this season being what it is. Because I understand, like, her life is linked to the Everlasting. They want to sever that link. But every other time we've seen that link severed was when Reyna died. So we don't know if you could, like, kill an Everlasting and it would kill them. But it's like, wouldn't severing that link to the curse also sever the life? Which I have to assume we're just ignoring that.
Let me tell you, they will address that.
Okay.
But the answer is...
That's just like, don't worry about it.
The answer is like, let's just hope for the best.
That's kind of what I figured it was going to be. Because again, you know, this ends up in the same path that we've been in a number of times this season. Like, Bonnie's not dying.
Yeah.
Nina Dobrev isn't coming back. So Bonnie has to make it through this somehow. And she's not going to kill Damon, Caroline, and Enzo. So what that leaves us is that she somehow gets out of this mess.
Yes.
And what we've been proposed is reasonable enough and also brings the vault back into play. So it's kind of like, sure.
And there's one episode left of the season. So it's like, we are under the impression that this will likely be figured out next week. And so if this is the plan that's being presented, it's like, okay, so that's probably going to be it.
Yeah, whether it works exactly as they say or there's some complication, like, something's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. But so you think it's basically all going to work out? Bonnie's going to be fine. No one's going to die.
I don't think any of our main people are at risk. You know, I think Alex St. John could die. I mean, she's kind of giving nothing. You know, maybe Valerie comes back and helps and then she dies just for fun.
That'd be so nice.
But I think like Bonnie, Caroline, Rick, Stefan, Damon, Enzo, Matt, they're all safe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun to go into a season finale and feel confident that they're all safe. Which, you know, I guess sometimes I do and I'm wrong anyway. But I do feel that this time, like, I really don't think something's going to happen to one of them.
Well, yeah, the longer this show goes on, it's like, I don't think you're going to kill one of the main people.
Yeah, especially because you already lost Nito Brev. Like, you kind of need what you have.
And you're struggling without her, so you really need to hang on to the people you got. Do you think that the evil will affect any of our main characters next week? Or any of our characters, I guess I should say.
I think it has to affect at least one of our main characters just because, or else, like, why was it scary?
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's, you know, we have to think about this next episode is getting Bonnie out of this mindset of being a hunter. So it pairs well with getting someone out of some evil mindset that lodged in their brain.
Gotcha.
So I don't think anyone will die as a result, but like it could be, you know, hurting themselves, hurting each other. We've seen people like hurt themselves. And so this could lead to like maybe Stefan being like, I need to kill myself, and then Caroline saves him, and then that's why they're in love again. Or Damon wants to kill himself, or you know, Bonnie already wanted to kill herself. I hate to make any big guess, but I think Enzo's gonna be fine. Because frankly, if they make an evil get into him, like his psyche on shaky ground, okay?
Yeah.
Like, let's let him not get overtaken by an evil vibe.
That'd be nice.
That's the one I would argue is safe. But I think it could mess with Staroline.
Do you think it'll just be one person who gets affected by it, or do you think it'll be multiple?
I think multiple in some way.
Okay, how many?
2 to 3.
Name them.
I think Stefan, Matt.
Oh.
It's an easy spot to get in there.
That would give Matt something to do, too, because they haven't been giving him much to do.
And, you know, I think either Alaric or Damon.
Okay.
We got to go for our weakest links. I do think it could go for Caroline, but honestly, the low-hanging fruit is all there.
Yeah.
And again, I think Enzo's had enough, so can we not?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thought.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars, rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.